What the elders have designed for this morning is, in our best judgment, the way that we would like to extend the right hand of fellowship to those that have been appointed as elders and deacons of this congregation. The process has been going on for several weeks, in fact, a couple of months, through much teaching and preaching, through the nomination process, and now the final day is here where these men will be recognized as elders and deacons in this congregation. It is a thrilling moment, not just on earth, but in heaven as well. And I hope that you will understand as we've gone through this process, this is one that we've taken the scriptures and we've done the best that we can to understand the process, because God did not give us all the details. He left it to man's judgment as to the best way to fulfill what He did authorize us to do in seeking and setting out and appointing men to these works. As we look at the outline itself, God's plan for the organization, I'm simply going to read the scriptures, make a couple of comments, and then we're going to move into first the role of the deacons, and Andy will then lead a prayer on their behalf. And then we'll get into the work of elders and the role of elders, and we'll have a prayer and then the right hand of fellowship for them. God's plan for the organization of the local church. In Titus chapter 1, verse 5, as we've already studied, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed you." In Acts chapter 14, when they had ordained elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And finally, in Philippians chapter 1, the very first verse, it says, "Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and the deacons." Combining these verses, we understand God's organization for His church. He designs that there be saints, the body of the people. And among them are those who are appointed to roles in that church. Bishops, that means overseers, and deacons. We have those in this congregation already, but God has designed through the qualification process that there be more if there are men qualified. We have thus found men qualified, and thus we intend to continue to be scripturally organized by appointing all men who meet these qualifications. God's way to select and appoint these elders and deacons. One of the best ways we know to look at this is looking at Acts chapter 6, where we find a congregation overseen by apostles in that particular congregation, where God designed that there be an appointment of men to work in a role that God wanted. The Bible tells us in Acts 6, the 12, the apostles, called the multitudes of the disciples to them and said, "It is not reasonable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, look out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." The saying pleased the multitude, and they chose certain men, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. And it's interesting as we read again Acts chapter 14 along this line, when they had ordained elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord. Therefore, what we see, not only that, and in many other verses, in fact, I've got one other listed there, but the concept of the choosing and then the setting apart a special day, a special service for the laying on of hands, which was in the first century a way of simply saying, we endorse, we support, we are behind you. When Paul and Barnabas were sent out to preach the gospel, the congregation at Antioch gathered around, and through prayer and fasting and laying on of hands, they sent them out to the work, endorsing their preaching appointment. When we thus see what we're doing here this morning, some might question, well, what exactly are you doing? Especially if we have those who are young in the faith, or maybe those who are visiting with us now. We want you to understand and be comfortable with the fact that what we're doing is we're trying to apply what we've just studied. We're trying to see how we as a congregation can together, as a unified body, endorse men to become elders and deacons in this church. And thus, that's what we will do in just a moment. Let me say one more thing. There might be those in the congregation who appointed and nominated certain men, and they were not in this process here. I want you to know that's the same thing that's true with even me, and I think the other elders as well. I appointed more men to be deacons. They were not chosen. This is something that we accept, that we as a congregation are united in this, that this is the will of this congregation, and therefore we are moving forward, and gladly so. And I hope that you will be rejoicing and you'll be happy in what we're doing here, that it is God's will and His will be done. We want to move to the deacons first, and we're going to ask Andy in just a moment to say a prayer. Before we do, we're going to ask both Brian and Andy to come forward now, if you would, please. As you stand before the table here facing the congregation. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 6, looking for those who would serve tables and who would be appointed over this business, that this is something that we are excited to have. Men who have a servant's heart, men who have willing hands, or willing to take on a business, a role of service to the church. And as we found in Acts chapter 6, when men were willing to step forward and do that, it led to, as we read verse 7, the congregation being able to be multiplied. Souls were being saved. That men like the apostles didn't have to take time to serve tables. They could give their time to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And thus we'll be able to do that now. The preachers and the elders of this congregation also have a work to do. But by having good deacons in the congregation to help serve, it helps the church to be able to work together and get God's will be done. We commend these men, Brian and Andy, before this church, who you have chosen and looked out among and said, we want you to help us in the work of this congregation. And so now we ask you to give your commendation to them, and we're going to ask Andy to seek and God's blessings as he lifts up his voice to God in prayer on their behalf. Andy?
Let's pray together. Father, this truly is a good day, and as these men stand before us, we pray, Lord, that we'll be thoughtful about all the things that have brought us to this moment. Father, we're thankful for Andy and we're thankful for Brian. Andy grew up among people here in this place. Brian grew up somewhere else. And Father, for all of the decisions they've made in their life and the ways that they have put their trust in you and have sought you, you've made them the men that they are in Christ Jesus. For so many years, Lord, you've served them, you've taken care of them, you've forgiven them, you have met their needs. And as should be with all of us, Father, at some point we realize that we need to serve not only you, but also others like you've shown us. And we're thankful, Father, for the hearts that you've given these men, that they want to live their lives as servants. Father, I pray that you will be with both of them. They are busy men who have many things going on in their lives. They have wives and children. They have responsibilities where they work. There will be many things that will vie for their attention. But we ask, Father, that you will give them great energy and strength, a sense of priority and focus, so that they'll know, Father, that all the things they do in your name are valuable and important, but that you'll help them have the wisdom to balance all of that and to not be tempted to neglect anything that matters. I'm grateful, Father, that you've helped them know and helped us know that the kingdom of God is the most important thing above all things. And I ask, Lord, that you'll help them to remember that you will help Jody and Pam as their wives to remember that, and that also, Father, you'll be with their children. Open the eyes of their heart to see the good example of their dads. to help them see and know that there are many things in this life that are important, and the most important thing of all is your Son, His rule, and His kingdom. And that if they're busy doing the work of God from time to time, that all of their families will have the attitude that says, this is what is right and good. And that you'll give them that kind of vision and strength and faith. Father, Jesus once said that the greatest among us would be those that serve. And Father, we pray that as these men serve, you'll help us to understand how truly great they are, that we will hold such men as this in high esteem and honor them for their work. But at the same time, Father, that you will help them to maintain a heart of humility, to know that it is not greatness that they seek, but simply service through love, and that you're the one that elevates them. But may we do that work for them, Father, as we strengthen and encourage them. Thank you, Father. Bless them with good strength and wisdom. Give them good days ahead and keep Satan away from them, as he always seems to attack those that want to serve. Bless us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'd like to ask Randy Foster and Clay Cantrell and Chip Porter to likewise come and stand before the congregation. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13, remember those who rule over you and who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. A few verses later, it says to obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. It likewise tells us to shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by constraint, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but instead being examples to the flock. We think of those and other verses that speak on the work of the elders, likewise called pastors, bishops, overseers, shepherds. These are all terms that represent the work that they do. Not a prestigious title that they own, but a work that they do, an office, a labor of love. And as we think about what these three men have accepted this day, our hearts just swell with pride that we have among our own number men who are willing to take on the most awesome responsibility probably in this world. To know that they have souls that they're looking at now that they are going to have to be accountable for. Giving up so much of their time and energy to be able to give up so much of even their family time to be able to serve, to spend and to be spent on behalf of God and His people. As they stand before you now, we commend them to you. We lift them up in prayer, and we embrace them with thankful hearts that they're willing to help us to go to heaven. And it is likewise our role now, as the Bible has just said, to be submissive to them, to obey them, for they watch for our souls. We're so thankful for what they're willing to do, and we give them this charge now before God to help us to go to heaven. We're going to ask first that Clay speak to us, followed by Randy, and then by Chip. Clay?
Just a couple comments. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to serve you in this way. This is a big deal, and I recognize that. And I take it seriously. Our family's been here a little over 5 years now, and for those of you that may not have worshipped in other places with other groups, we've got a pretty special thing going here. We have a working church that I think is trying to follow the Lord's plan. We've got two excellent preachers. We've got leaders that have done a great job. And we've got a family that loves each other and is striving to grow. And you don't have that everywhere. And I don't know if everybody recognizes that, but it is a special thing. My task as you allowing me to be one of the overseers is to keep that going. I've been a deacon the last several years, and basically the definition to me of a deacon is a servant. Now I'm blessed with the opportunity to help try and lead. It's important for me that you understand that that does not, to me, mean that I don't serve anymore. It's just a new way of serving. I don't look at eldership as up here telling everybody down here what to do. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 says, "We beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." The things I focus on in that verse are that we are to labor among you, and we're to work, and we're to be at peace together. In John 10, it talks about Jesus as the good shepherd. None of us are the good shepherd, but we can use Jesus being a shepherd as an example. And he says, when he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." And I think part of the relationship that we're going to need to make sure we continue to have is that we know each other. I need you to know me, and I need to know you, so we can help each other get to heaven. And then I can work with you to do that. First and foremost, I may be your elder, but first and foremost, I'm your brother. And I need you guys to encourage me and point me in the right direction, and I'm going to try and do the same for you. And as a brother, I think it's also important that you can come and talk to me about anything. I need to be approachable. You need to be able to come and say, "Clayton, I've got this issue. Can I help? Can you help me with it?" Or, "Clayton, I think you have a problem, and I need to help you with it." We need to be on the same page where we can talk to each other. And I know most of you fairly well, and I want to know you better, and I need your help with that. So those of you that I don't know well, I apologize. Let's be closer so we can help each other get to heaven. And that's my goal. So thank you very much for letting me serve you in this way.
Thank you, brother. I echo everything that Clayton said. I too want to say thank you. I'm not comfortable standing up here and talking about myself. This is not about me. This is about the Lord's work. I want to thank you for your love for God, for your love for the truth. I want to thank you for your love and concern for one another, but especially for me and my family. We've been here less time than Clay and his family. And I can remember the very first day we walked through that door. and how we were welcomed with open arms. There's something special about this congregation and the love. It's evident. And we are so blessed to be a part of this family. We love this church, and we love every family that's represented in this church. And we've had the opportunity and the privilege of being at other places. And I can't express how truly fortunate and how truly blessed we are here. I remember talking with a wise man when I was just a wet behind the ears 18-year-old, didn't know anything. Young Christian. And I remember talking to this man about the eldership. This man was an elder at the time. This man was a preacher. This man had a great influence on me. He performed our wedding ceremony a little over 30 years ago. This man happens to be Donna Mann's father, Ray Ferris. And as we studied and talked about the eldership, we talked a lot about the qualifications in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We spent a lot of time with that. But we talked a lot about the passage that Rick has already made reference to in 1 Peter and the responsibility that goes with being an elder. And I assure you that I take that very, very seriously. It's an awesome responsibility that you have expressed confidence in allowing me to serve in this way. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul starts out there talking about a man who desires the work of an elder, desires a good work. And I don't think Paul is talking about always joy and pleasure, and it's an awesome work that God has set forth for man to do. I'm reminded of Psalm chapter 8 when I think about this. You know, who am I, God, that you're mindful of me? And who am I that you are mindful and have confidence in me to ask me to serve you in this way? I thought a lot about this last night since I didn't sleep very much. When I obeyed the gospel 33 years ago, I made a commitment to God to be a servant. And I dare not be anything else in His kingdom. So as Clayton has said, and I echo, just because I'm being asked now to be an elder doesn't change that responsibility that I have. I am still a servant, and that's what I'm here for. I'm here for you, your brother, to help in any way that I can. I'm truly humbled by your confidence in me to ask me to serve in this way. This congregation is already blessed to have four great leaders in Rick and Richard and Robert and Terry. These men are great, not because they've established themselves in the business world and are successful. They're not great because they're successful in various endeavors. They're great because they love God and they love the souls of everyone in this congregation. I see that. I know that. And I hope that you know that. And I can, without fear of contradiction, say the same thing about Chip and Clayton. And I've already said how much I love this group. So I covet your prayers, not only on my behalf, but on for Clayton and Chip as we begin this walk, but the other elders as well. And I covet your prayers on behalf of this congregation. Thank you so much for your love and your confidence in allowing me to serve in this way. Thank you.
Well, ditto and ditto. I don't know that I could say anything better or more eloquently than both Clayton and Randy have said about my own thoughts. But I've been here less than either Clayton or Randy. My family and I moved here 2.5 years ago. But I guess it would be well to say that I am a product of all of my experiences. I was raised in a home that went to a Church of Christ in Nevada. My father was an elder. I'm glad that he's here today. It's timing that puts him here, and I'm just so glad that he's able to see this. I learned a great deal from watching him serve as an elder and my mom as his wife. I learned a great deal from the preachers that I've sat at the feet of in those congregations in Nevada. I've learned a lot from being married to Christy, who was not raised in the church, was raised a Catholic, and her viewpoint of what we do sometimes is very refreshing for me and educational. I've learned from living in Colorado and serving and working in a congregation there that was growing incredibly quickly and was a wonderful experience. I've learned from living in Texas where I worked with Gary and Jan Weilman, whom many of you know. And I've learned already in being here so much from Rick and from Andy and from others. The comments, the zeal that this church has for studying the truth is just incredible. And so I will say this, that one of the thoughts I had before I got up here today was to talk about your reputation. You know, people have reputations and churches have reputations. We can read in the New Testament of churches that had reputations. The Bereans had a reputation for being more zealous about the word. Before we got here, you had a reputation. Now, it was first brought to our attention probably by Gary and Jan Weilman, but Christy was a member of this congregation many years ago before we were married, and it was much smaller then, but you have a reputation. So when we looked at our options for moving from Texas to somewhere, we had no doubt that we were moving to a community where there was a good church. And that has been confirmed by our experience here. I've served as a deacon before, but I've never served as an elder. This is an awesome responsibility and a humbling undertaking and consideration. And as Randy said, I don't know that I slept very well last night. The snowplow woke me up at 4:15, and I know I didn't go to sleep after that. But let me share two passages with you and comment about those passages and leave you with these thoughts. And they're from writings of Paul to two different churches, one to a church in Ephesus and one to a church in Corinth. He's writing to the entire church in both cases because we know in the book of Ephesians, when he starts that book, the first verse says, I am writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Jesus Christ. I consider you to be the same. And I address these remarks to you. When he wrote to the people in Corinth, he said, I'm writing to God's church in Corinth, to you who have been called by God to be his holy people. And I think you are trying to be just that. And that is our endeavor, to be holy people, set apart from this world for a special purpose, And I look forward to working with you in this capacity as we fulfill that purpose of winning souls. So first from Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Paul writes these words, starting in verse 1 of chapter 4. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love for one another. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. For there is one body, one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope for the future. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and living through us all. However, he has given each of us special gifts, the generosity of Christ. Now, these gifts that Christ gave to the church are the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibilities are to equip God's people to do His work and to build up the church, which is the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such a unity in our faith and our knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard, which is Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced by people who try to trick us with lies that are so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. In Corinth, he speaks to that church about that body with a very human correlation. He talks about the human body. So let me read that passage and then I'll be done. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ, which is his church. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some of us are free, but we've all been baptized into one body and one Spirit. We all share that same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, then how would you smell? But our bodies are made up of many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it was all made up of one part. So there are many parts and only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you, nor can the head say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts that seem the weakest or the least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts that we regard as less honorable, because they may be less visible, are those that we treat with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that may not be as noticeable. While the parts we regard as honorable and may be more visible may not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that require it. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members can care for one another. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer. And if one part is honored, then all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. I chose those two scriptures as I enter into this role because I want you to understand that, as Clayton and Randy have said, I consider myself only a part of this body. No one in this church is more important than another. No one is less important than another. In taking on these responsibilities, I am no more important than any of you. We all play a part as God intends it to be. And for now, this is my role. This will be my part. I consider it such an honor that you have that confidence in me. It is a frightening and humbling expectation. But as an elder of this congregation, it will be my goal to help each of one of us realize our special part in this congregation, so that as individuals, when we realize our full potential, we can, as a congregation in this community, realize our full potential and grow and love each other in the way that God intended. I ask for your prayers and for your support and for your commitment to hold me to that pledge. Thank you for the honor to serve you.
If we could have the three men now please stand. Peter. We're going to have what we've described simply as the right hand of fellowship, commending these men to you and asking for your endorsement of them. What we're going to do is we're going to start here on the front row and then move forward.
We'll now have a prayer for the elders. Our Almighty God, we humbly approach you with thanksgiving. We're so appreciative of these men who have willingly accepted the responsibility to serve this congregation and to serve you. We pray a special blessing on Clay Cantrell, on Randy Foster, and on Chip Porter. We pray a special blessing on each one of these men and each one of their families as we all strive to serve you according to the example that we've been given in your word. We pray, Father, that we will show wisdom by turning to you and always finding instruction in your word. We pray, Father, that you would continue to bless each one of these men and continue to bless this congregation, that we might serve you in unity and that we might indeed serve you in such a way as to extend the boundaries of your kingdom, to reach out to those in our communities that are lost, all the while building up the local body. Help us, Father, to always look to you and be mindful of one another. Again, we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name, amen.